Amen. Thank you, choir. What a reminder that one day, you know, we're going to pass off of this scene, y'all. And all that you and I have done will be left there as a testimony for those who are coming behind us. And just as these children are heading off to children's church and going to open God's Word and hear Him speak, they're one day going to follow behind us and see whether we listen to God speak and whether that was important to us. And so I want you to just consider this morning, listen, they're watching. There's those coming behind us, and we're going to leave some evidence for them about what we believed and how earnestly we believed it. And my prayer is that we will leave behind for them a godly example by the way we lived and conducted our life. We're taking our Bibles this morning and turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you'll take your copy of God's Word, if you don't have a copy, please grab a Bible there in the pew rack in front of you, because we all want to have God's Word open before us. It's a mirror for us to look into. And I don't know about you, sometimes it's good to look in the mirror and see, well, what do I look like? And as we look and see God, we really will know what we look like, because He is the light that illumines our life and helps us to realize what is it that we see when we look in the mirror. And as we're looking today, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you'll find that text, this is a very important text for us. Listen, not just because it's God's Word and Paul speaks to Timothy, but it's relevant, I believe, even in the day and age in which we live. As you know, I believe Jesus could come at any moment, and we should be ready for that. And so I want to be ready to hear what God would say to us today. In a moment, we'll stand and read this section, verses 10 through 15. But let me first ask you a question this morning. Have you ever thought about being a model? All right? Now, don't laugh at me, because I know some of you ladies used to go to the mall where they had the glamour shoots, right? And you get the photo shoot, right? And, you know, you can just imagine what it's like to prepare yourself for one of those photo shoots and then to sashay down the walkway, right? And when I think of models, I know some of you think about, you know, those individuals who sell us things, whether it's perfume or clothing or different products, but they even have fitness models. They have models for all kinds of things. But the reality is this, listen, all of us should be thinking about being a model in life and what model is influencing us. Because as believers, Christ intended that you and I, listen, be a model for others to imitate in our life. My life, your life, is really a walking billboard that people should be able to read. And it should be a motivation for them, hopefully, to direct them in the right direction. To direct others around us, to point them, not to ourselves, but to Christ. We're supposed to be a testimony of a supernatural reality that God's grace can change a life. God's grace can change the direction of a life. You and I are supposed to be proof that Jesus saves and that He changes, transforms lives. And your life, my life, listen, it can be like a powerful magnet that attracts individuals to Him when they see what Christ has done in us. Now think about that, just like a magnet. If we're not a good example, a godly example, we might repel some because of being a poor example of what it means to be a believer. But nonetheless, our life should be an example. You think about it. Just think about the examples in your life, those who walked before you, who influenced you. And it's not just in the church. I mean, just in life. When you stop and think about someone that maybe you imitate today, you copy today, maybe the way they are, the way they were. Maybe it was a teacher who challenged you in class and gave you the model of being a lifelong learner and loving to love God with all your mind and to learn and expand your horizons. Maybe it was a coach for your ball team who inspired you, who drilled you and worked you hard, and you appreciate all that they did, the challenges that they gave you to face life, because they had challenges in life and inspired you. Maybe it was a believer or a pastor or someone, listen, that loved the Lord and loved the saints and loved and to set the example of what it meant to be a Christ follower. And today, they've influenced you in such a way that it influences your discipleship time, your devotion time when you're in the Word of God. Or maybe it's an elderly loved one, Mimi or Papa, or someone that you know walked through some crisis, some incredible trial that stretched them and They had incredible faith and resilience and steadfastness through that trial of faith that, you know what, you now have that resolve that, you know what, I'm never going to quit because I've seen that in the life of someone else. We've all had those examples in our life, in all facets of life. So it's not surprising when I open the Word of God today and I see God saying to you and saying to me that, listen, we need to consider godly examples in life. Jesus himself, listen, what did he do when he taught his disciples? Numerous times he would talk about examples and following an example. In fact, when they had that Last Supper, as they prepared that meal and had entered into that upper room to enjoy that Passover meal, and they were all sitting there waiting for the meal to be served, it was Jesus who got up and went and laid aside his garments and took up the towel and the basin of water and came and did what? Washed all their feet. And when he finished and he put the towel down and put his garments back on and he came back to the table, he says, now listen, what I've done for you, you do for one another. I've given you an example. And he would do this time and again with his teaching and in his instruction. And so I'm not surprised when Jesus does this and Jesus models this, that even Peter, he would say, Peter must have learned a thing or two at that meal, because in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, he says, listen, realize this, that the Son of God came, and by the life that he lived, he left an example that we should follow in his steps. In fact, that was a great book that was written, What Would Jesus Do?, that Sheldon wrote. In fact, just years ago, it wasn't long ago that we used to have those bracelets. Remember WWJD? What Would Jesus Do? What was the example Jesus would set that we would follow? Examples are found all throughout Scripture. They're important for us to inspire us, to motivate us, to live in a particular way. We learn this early as children. Isn't it amazing how children are so observant? And how they're always looking at the big people all around them. Scary too, right? They learn, they grow, they mature looking at the examples of others. Not just their immediate family, anyone that maybe they have a lot of access to, a lot of influence from. And there's a lot of influences out there. But mom and dad, you realize God planned it in such a way that you loving parents are to be a part in the nurture and the growth and the maturing of those little ones. And you are very influential in their life and as an example for them of how they will live. Someone once said to me, you know, we teach them, or they learn what we teach them, but they become what we are. They learn what we teach them, but they become what we are. That can be either exciting or very scary. But they do, they watch. Those little observant eyes, right? They talk like us because of our example. They'll work like us because of our example. But even today, they'll worship like us because of our example. That can be for good or bad. But this is why it's important to stop and consider godly examples in our life that should be motivating us to live godly lives. When I read the Old Testament, and even the New Testament, these epistles that we're about to consider in just a moment, you stop and think the examples of leaders that were doing certain things, but they may have an apprentice, a protege, someone walking alongside them as they serve the Lord, only to discover later in the course of salvation history, they then step up and are a leader, like Joshua. Before he went in and led God's people into the promised land, what happened? Well, he just followed in the shadow of Moses for 40 years. He was there at Mount Sinai at the foot of the mountain, and then he served alongside Moses. So when Moses would give him the responsibility, that God said, give it to Joshua. Joshua would lead the people in to the promised land. You think of Elijah and Elisha, the prophets. Elisha, who walked along with Elijah, and at some point, Elijah threw that mantle over on him and said, it's your turn. And the fiery chariot came and whisked him away. And Elisha said, oh, Lord, can I do as much as Elijah? And God, if you really are that God that can do those things, then do twice as much through me as you do through Elijah's life. And when you go back and you count all the miracles that happened by those two prophets, somebody has counted them and said, you know what, there are actually twice as many miraculous things that Elisha did than Elijah. Paul writing to Timothy here, his protege, the one that followed along with him and he invested in, and he showed him how to do ministry and gave him responsibilities. He writes two epistles here, and in these epistles even, he talks about being an example and following the right example. It's something you need to stop and think about. You're looking at someone to influence the way you live your life. Students, listen, whether that's on social media, streamers, all types of TikTok video, and we log in. Well, what's the latest thing? Those things can shape us and mold us. Not just the students, parents, us as well. Listen, adults, you're not too old to be having the right example set before you. And these should motivate us to live godly lives, the godly examples of others. And that's what Paul's going to emphasize to Timothy here. And if we're honest and we hear God speak this morning and we look into the Word, then I should look at my life and say, I tell you what, I need to really examine. What examples am I following? Because the examples that I'm following will probably help me set an example for those coming behind me. And we need to really be honest and evaluate that this morning. And so if we hear God speak, then I'm going to examine the models, the testimony, what's influencing me, knowing that it might influence others. And I don't know about you, as the choir sang, I want those who come behind me to find me what? Faithful. When they look at my life, examine my life, and I want them to see one who was godly and faithful. And so in our study of godliness this morning, I want you to stand and honor the word of the Lord, this doctrine of godliness and the motivation we should have by good examples in life. As Paul speaks here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. But you have, notice this, carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue, watch this, in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, a model. That from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Father, help us to be humble and honest today, to honestly consider what type of example am I setting? And maybe to examine what type of example am I following? Because they may be related. And God, whether we're parents, whether we're students, whether we're grandparents, may we all realize today that someone's watching us. They're reading us like a book. They're considering the life that we live, the profession that we have, whether it's real. And God, may they find a godly example, and may we be and follow godly examples, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As you're being seated, don't shut your Bible. I want you to notice that one little three-letter word, but, there in verse 10. It's very critical that we understand the context this morning and why following godly examples is so critical and important, particularly in the day and age in which we live. Now, when we study the context of an epistle, we don't just read a text. We want to know what was written before and after of that section. Also, what was written before 2 Timothy when Paul wrote 1 Timothy. Because if you go over to 1 Timothy, if you just turn about three or four pages over in your Bibles to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, what you find over in 1 Timothy, this is quite interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul wrote to Timothy about being a leader there at the church in Ephesus. And he said to him, listen, Timothy, you're young, but don't let no one despise your youth, but instead be an example to the believers in word and conduct, love and spirit and faith and purity. Give attention to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. Don't neglect the gift that was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress, may be evident to all. Timothy, be a model, be an example, be a godly example. In fact, take heed not just to yourself, but also to the doctrine. continue in them, for in doing so, you save both yourself and those who hear you. When Paul wrote to Timothy the first time, he emphasized to him, listen, I know you're a young buck, and a lot of people in that culture in that day appreciated the wiser, older ones who had a little more gray hair. Timothy was young as a pastor, but Paul says, don't let them look down on you because of your age, but instead, by your example, set the pace, be a pace setter, set the trends, lead people by the way you live. In fact, pay close attention to what you teach, your doctrine, and your manner of life. They need to match up, amen? And Timothy, set the example and live in such a way that people want to follow you. They follow you because this is a godly example. Be engrossed in this. Be consumed with it. Meditate on these things. Make that your life passion. And praise God for Paul's instruction, not only to Timothy, but also those who are in leadership. But here, in this section of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's not Paul writing about Timothy being an example, but remembering the godly examples that he has already seen. And that's important for me to realize. Listen, I stand here today. On one side, I'm looking this way. I'm looking at an example that I should follow because someone behind me is looking at me that I'm an example for them. Does that make sense to everybody? There's a chain here that we need to realize this morning. Stop and think. Listen, someone is looking at you and looking at me. What kind of example am I? What example I'm looking at probably will influence the type of example I am to them. That's how it works. Well, then what kind of example do I want to set before me? Paul's speaking to him right here, and he says, listen, but you have carefully followed several things. You have followed my example. I have demonstrated for you. Now, why is this important? You notice the little but there in verse 10. Again, the context, not just of the two epistles, but now the context of this chapter. Stop and think for a moment. Why is this so important? Here's why. Because in the latter days, in the perilous times that are going to come, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be an example, a pattern. There will be those who have the form of godliness, but no power. They will love self. They will love money. They will love pleasure, but they won't love God. In fact, at the end of this section in chapter 4, those individuals, because they like their religion and religious activity, they will heap up for themselves teachers that will tickle their ears. They will heap them up, those who say the things they want to say, and gather false teachers who will not give them the right example of how to live out godliness. Because remember, as Paul would tell Timothy in these epistles, there is a doctrine that conforms to godliness. There is a doctrine that leads to living godly lives. There is a doctrine that influences the way we live. Living right starts with believing the right thing. But if you don't believe the right thing, you will not do the right thing. But those things are supposed to be connected. So examine, stop the teachers that are before you. He's emphasizing that in this section. And he's saying, listen, these times are going to come. People are going to fall away from the faith. There's going to be an apostasy. People will love pleasure, love money, love self, not love God. They'll have the power, the form of godliness, but no power. But remember also, they're going to heap up teachers, ear ticklers. Those that will tell them what they want to hear. Realize, Timothy, that's not the example that was set before you. There's a sacred trust, he would tell them in these epistles. He would tell Timothy, there's a sacred trust that's been given to you. A baton that was passed to you. And Timothy, I gave it to you. Follow my example. What kind of teacher should we follow? What kind of preacher should we follow? What kind of leader should we follow? What type of example should we follow? Well, according to this, it begins with one who teach the right doctrine, the true doctrine. Paul would say it this way, look, you have carefully followed my doctrine. Now, this isn't my doctrine like I wrote this and I came up with it. Paul, listen, when he says my doctrine, that doctrine is really what God has said. Because Paul would say elsewhere, listen, that this doctrine accords with what Christ has taught us. It also produces godliness. And so as he speaks this way, he's not saying, listen, I came up with this on my own. What he's saying is, listen, I have just faithfully given to you the truth that has been passed down to me. And remember, Paul didn't write this. It wasn't by his own revelation. He says, actually, over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, that's what happens with all these false teachers. They got all their fanciful stories and their own speculation rather than resting on God's revelation and what God has said. And what God's revelation was to Paul is what we have in so many of these epistles as God helped to explain to him the reality of the gospel and how that it should influence our life. In fact, what's fascinating is if you read over in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, an epistle he wrote many, many years before this, what he writes there about who Jesus is, the Son of David, the human seed, the Son of God, raised from the dead by the Spirit of God, the Son of God, that over here, just one page over in chapter 2 and verse 12, in verse 7, it says, remember that Jesus Christ was the seed of David, raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not changed. You see, even there, Paul's showing, listen, this gospel's not his. It's actually the Lord's because it's unchanging through time. It never has to be updated in any way. It's the same gospel, and it centers on Christ, who Christ is and what he's done. The Son of God and the Son of Man who came and gave his life for us so that we could be saved from our sins. Paul was faithful to proclaim it. And that's not surprising because he would write in Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So God's truth that he gives us, a good example is going to faithfully teach us true doctrine. It doesn't change. Now this is what's critically important. Listen carefully. No matter how appealing a preacher may be, if he does not preach the truth from God's word, then he's not an example to follow. It's that simple. And it's that important to understand. Because remember, in the end times, they're going to try to tickle ears. They're going to try to tell you what you want to hear. And people will flock to a charismatic speaker or leader, you know, because they got great energy. And they tell great stories. And they make me feel good. You got it not just on radio and TV, you got it in pulpits, motivational TED talkers who just listen, give you a little pop psychology and a little motivational story, and let's sprinkle in a little scripture here and there. And that's what the crowds gather to hear. This is the warning why it's so important. What example am I setting before me? Because that example that I set before me is going to influence me to be an example for those coming behind me. And Paul's saying, you have carefully followed my doctrine, what I have taught. This just makes sense. Stop and think for a moment. What did Jesus say about a teacher and a student? Remember, he was rabbi, teacher. What did he say? A student will be like his teacher. So the one that teaches me, that instructs me, I want to make sure that they believe the truth. Why? Because that truth is going to transform the way we live. And if a student is going to be like a teacher, then I want to know, listen, do they love the Lord? Do they love his word? If this is the example before me, are they fleshing out the faith? Are they emphasizing the power of the gospel to change our lives? Paul says, you saw that in me with my doctrine. But even not just that, notice the second thing, the manner of my life, the way I lived. You see, a godly example isn't just known about true doctrine. They're known, but they practice what they preach. Paul says, you've seen my life. You've known how I've conducted my life. I mean, what would Jesus say about the Pharisees? You remember them? Hey, listen, don't be like them. Why? Because they're hypocrites. They say one thing, but they do another. They don't practice what they preach. In fact, he would warn his disciples then as they walked, listen, watch out. And he warned the crowds, don't be like them. Don't follow in their footsteps. But see, Paul says, no, you didn't see that in me. What you saw in me is that I fleshed out the faith, which is just how it should be. Stop and think for a moment. The faith that we believe is incarnational faith. Do you believe Jesus existed in the form of God, but didn't hold on to that position, but emptied himself, taking on the form of humanity? And taking on the form of humanity, he took specifically the form of a servant. And because he took the form of a servant, what that meant is he went to a cross, suffered, bled, and died, and then was buried and rose again. Do you believe that's true? That's the faith. It's incarnational. God, the Word, became flesh. and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, John would say. Why did he do that? Listen, to redeem us, so that now you and I can incarnate the flesh, the faith in the flesh. We can incarnate, people can see the word, the truth in you and me, because our lives have been changed. And so the teacher, I want to make sure, Paul says, listen, you've carefully followed my doctrine and my manner of life. In other words, listen, Paul says, I didn't demand from others. I was never a burden to them. Instead, I was willing to spill myself out for them. He'll say that even later in this epistle when he'll say, listen, I'm about to be poured out as a drink offering. You know, a drink offering is just totally consumed. There's nothing left. Paul says, that's my life. I've spilled everything I've got for you. His conduct backed up his teaching. Now, this is important even in our day and age. Stop and think for a moment. Paul says, you know what? I didn't preach about sacrificing and the need to give and then live in luxury, right? When a pastor calls on the church to give sacrificially but then demands an exuberant salary, or lives in some way that would suggest that, you know what, is he worshiping God or mammon, right? Do you think that happens today? Oh, yeah. There's one church, it's very, very influential right now, down in Charlotte. And the pastor there, the music that they produce is all not for the church's benefit, it's in his name. He gets all the rights and all the royalties from it. And enriches himself, and yet people think, oh, this is just actually who we need to follow. But I mean, you need to wake up and realize what's going on. They're all around us, and we need to be aware of the influence that they have. Paul would say, listen, I'm about being a servant, not a celebrity. Be careful, listen, when the persona of the church is around the pastor instead of around Jesus. That's essentially what he would be saying. Think about that for a moment. I mean, if we're dying to self, hide me behind the cross. I don't want you to see me. I want you to see Jesus in me at the end of the day. That's what matters. And this is real in our day. This is the warning in our day when Paul would say, be aware and beware that this is going to happen. Timothy, I set an example in my doctrine and in my life. And not just that, in the purposes that I live for. Now, Paul's purpose was really simply this. He wanted to glorify God and make disciples. That's what he was all about. He told the church in Rome, listen, I can't wait to get to you, because when I come there, I can't wait to share with you and harvest, bring a harvest from you. And then from you there, be a springboard to go on to Spain and spread the gospel there. And even in that epistle, he would write to the Romans and he would say, you know what? My heart's desire is that the Jews would believe, that Israel would believe, because salvation is for the Jew first, but also for the Greek, that people would know the power of the gospel. And his purpose was living to spread that gospel. That's all he did. It took him to Lystra, where he met Timothy, and Antioch, Iconium, all these places, and all these experiences. He was living, listen, for God's purposes, not his own. Now, what's fascinating is the things that he mentions here. Faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. All of these things are tied to living for God's purpose. Why? Well, if you do what God calls you to do, it's not always going to be easy. Trust me, right? Paul says, look at my example. As I went through that, there were times when I had to have faith. Now, this is different than the faith. That's the doctrine that he mentioned. But Paul had to have faith. He had to walk by faith. He had to believe that God, trust that God would supply what was needed. And he said, you know what, to the Philippians, he said, you know, whether I've been abased or abound, no matter what circumstance I've found myself in, you know what I've discovered? I can do all things through Christ who, what? Strengthens me. I've trusted in him. He's demonstrated that. Time and again, he would call out and he'd say, listen, I'm trusting in the grace of God. It's more than sufficient. God had told him that and shown him that in the letter to the Corinthians. All in all, Paul had to have faith to be a man of faith, to live by faith and trusting God to supply direction, supply resources, supply individuals, to supply deliverance even from when he was in persecuted places and in prison. And God did it. Sometimes that took long suffering because Paul, listen, he had to bear up under the attacks of other individuals. People don't always do what God wants them to do. When Paul was doing what God wanted him to do, he often suffered for it. And he said, sometimes, listen, you know what? I've had to have long suffering, macrothumia. I've had to be real patient in the midst of those trials, trusting in God, believing in God, waiting on God. And yet I've been faithful. You've seen that, Timothy. You've seen my charity, my love, my willingness to be poured out, to serve others, to benefit others rather than myself. He said, you've seen these things. You've seen my endurance when I've gone through persecutions. I think that's great, and it's insightful for us to realize just for a moment that a godly example to follow in life is someone that's living for God's purposes and not their own, because that's what Paul modeled. In fact, even as he goes further, a godly example is one that's willing to endure hardship, to suffer. Timothy, you've seen it. You've seen the persecutions. You've seen the afflictions. Even when he met Timothy as a young boy, whether he led him to Christ or played some role instrumental there, we know his mom and his grandmother did. We'll look at that in just a moment. But what's amazing is, you know what? Paul never asked others to suffer for him. He was always willing to suffer for others, though. Persecuted from city to city. It was proof that, listen, his faith was real. And as he lived a godly life, because he lived distinct from those around him, he suffered and experienced persecution. In fact, that's the scary thing, right? All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I mean, we haven't experienced that really here in America, though I don't believe that it isn't on the horizon, possibly, if things don't change. I mean, it's just across the border in Canada, y'all. You realize that. It's coming soon to not just a theater near you, but to a community near you. To take a stand for Christ will count for something sooner than we think. And what we need to realize is I need to have one, you know what, whose faith is going to endure through those hardships, who's going to be willing to suffer and not fail in those moments of trial. Because it's going to come. There's going to be a falling away at some point. But Paul, listen, he had a prison record. He had a physical affliction. He stirred up problems everywhere he went because he was just preaching the truth and telling the truth about Jesus. And people didn't want to hear about that. And so they wanted to destroy him. But he never flinched in the face of adversity. He set his face like a flint to the cross and followed his Savior. And what that cost him? Well, what that cost him was persecutions. But he endured them. Why? Because the Lord delivered him out of them all. Over in chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, he's going to mention this. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was also delivered out of the mouth of a lion. He hasn't just experienced deliverance in the past. He's going to experience deliverance even in the future. God ultimately would deliver him from this world, praise God, into his presence. We're looking forward to that. We should be. You see, that's the way we go through afflictions and we experience them and suffer hardships is we realize, you know, momentary light afflictions in the scale, they don't even compare to the eternal weight of glory that God has for us. You got to have that perspective in life and that example before you. Listen, we live in a world, listen, that wants it cozy and comfortable rather than experiencing hardship. In fact, what's an indictment on most pastors today and the pastor on the pulpit is this: when it gets hot, they flee. They don't stick it out and say, you know what? God, you've drawn my boundaries here. It's too easy to cut and run. Well, there's just another church down the road. They'll take me. I'll go there. Rather than doing what God calls you to do in that flock, in that family of faith, and be faithful to proclaim the truth. It's not always easy. But if God calls you to be that shepherd, be there. But, you know, the track record for most pastors is, you know, in 3 to 5 years, if things get hot, well, I'll just go somewhere else. Rather than doing what is necessary. Paul says, you didn't see that in me. The only reason he was run out of town, usually with stones being thrown at him or being beaten and left for dead. And that's a good example, one who's willing to suffer and endure hardship. But one last thing that also is important here. Notice this is important. Verse 14. But you must continue in these things. The things what? The things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now think about that for a moment. Timothy, don't forget what's been poured into you. Don't forget what you've learned. Don't forget who you learned them from. Those were the examples. Those were his teachers. Those were Paul, maybe Barnabas, maybe Silas, maybe others that Timothy walked along as he walked in the shadow of Paul, learning about ministry. But also, it was his mama and his grandmother. Why? Because from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How do we know that's his mom and his grandmother? Well, I think Paul mentioned them over in chapter 1 of this epistle, in verse 5 of that epistle, when he reflected and remembered Timothy, that he served alongside, and his desire to see him, and mindful of his tears, and to be filled with his joy, that because he remembered the genuine faith that was in him, which began first, he says, in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you as well. Long before Paul showed up in his town, Timothy had been hearing the scriptures. Why? His mama and his grandmama were pouring it into him. So listen, parents, grandparents, realize this. You have powerful influence as an example to your children and grandchildren to pour the Word of God into them. Why? The Word of God can make them wise unto salvation. Do it. Be faithful to do it. Don't make excuses. Grow. Help your children to grow in the faith with the Word of God. Listen, remember, they're watching. They're watching your example, whether the Word of God is a priority in your life or not. And the example you should be setting is, how can I pour this Word into their hearts as well? Listen, they are watching your example, whether you take church as a priority or not. Whether you take service in the church as a priority or not. Whether you take reading the Word of God, listen, not just in church, but at home in your devotional time or not. They know whether it's serious or not for you. Timothy had a mama and a grandmama pouring it into him. From childhood, the Holy Scriptures. Listen, tonight we're going to start Grow. It's our ministry for discipleship of children and students. It's a ministry also for discipleship of adults. It's because we all need to be growing in the Scriptures. Adults and children. Why? Well, Paul would say this later in this. You know, Scripture, it's actually given by God, by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It'll profit you in life. It'll give you a plumb line. It'll give you a doctrine. If you're on the wrong side of what's right and wrong, it'll say, you're on the wrong side. It'll reprove you. And then it'll correct you and say, get on the other side. And then when you're on the other side, it will instruct you in righteousness so that you can be adequate, equipped for every good work. It's profitable. But listen, if you don't make it a priority, parents, listen, for your children to be here, then your kids are going to realize what a priority it isn't for you as well and for them. And don't be surprised by that example, what that produces later in life. You walk outside in the hallway, you see a table. We've got individuals that are working diligently, working hard as we write our own curriculum. You know why? Because we're concerned about the doctrine that's coming out, and we want to make sure that we're well-grounded in the Word of God and that our children are grounded in the Word of God. And so we got individuals pouring themselves out to do that. It starts tonight at 6 o'clock, and it's critical for us. Why? Because we realize the age in which we live and what's going on. And we're taking that seriously because that's what the Word of God speaks to us and says to us. We don't want to just tickle ears and have a fun time and then, oh, let's sprinkle a Bible verse at the end of our time together. How's that the faith? That's not the example that I see in Scriptures. I see commitment. I see taking responsibility, being accountable, pouring that truth into our hearts and minds, growing, discipling in the faith. And the church needs to realize this isn't playtime. It's serious. It's about eternity and about lives being transformed and changed. Own it. Take responsibility. You can't just pawn it off and say, well, it's the pastor's responsibility or the children's associates or the student associates' responsibility or the family pastor's responsibility. No, mom and dad, you start at an early age. Set the frames early before you pour the concrete, right? Set them and then pour the right stuff in so when it sets up, you don't have to go lift out the concrete. Do that now. Make it a priority in your life. Now, here's the amazing thing. This example, listen again, it's not just being example. That's what he said in 1 Timothy. Here it's follow the right example and keep following the right example. Why? Because people are going to fall away and not want to follow the right example any longer. They're going to heap up for themselves these deceptive, false teachers and be aware of that and beware of it. Realize that God's truth never changes and stand fast in it and find those who will. It reminds me of King David over in Psalm 101, one of my favorite psalms. as he speaks there about his responsibility as a man and as a king. He says over there in Psalm 101 verses 6 and 7, "My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me." I mean, he's careful about his company that he keeps, the examples he puts around him. Listen to this. "He who walks in a perfect way, him, that one, he shall serve me. He works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence." Why would it be so important to have these types of individuals around him? Because the power of influence, the power of an example. You stop and think about those in leadership. Listen, David's about to take the throne. He's got to make critical decisions for God's people. He wants to make sure that his role, what he fulfills as a godly king, that God's people are successful. He understands the responsibility of leadership, and so he embraces it. And he says, you know what? This is the man I'm going to be, a man of integrity, and I want people who are people of integrity around me so that when I make decisions, my counselors aren't defiled by sin or influenced in some way that would cause me not to make the right decision. Oh, that we had leadership like that today and realized it. I mean, it's why it says over there, you know what? When the righteous are in authority, ruling, the nation's blessed. The people are blessed and the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, Lord help us. That's why I'm praying for a change in November. Amen. I realize the significance of this according to the Word of God. And David realized as well, and you say, well, he's a king, man. He's taking the throne. I'm not a king, Pastor Chris. I'm just a mom. I'm just a dad. I mean, oh, really? Are you a part of a kingdom? Are you seeking after the kingdom first and righteousness that goes with it? Are you a part of a royal priesthood? Because maybe we've forgotten who we are and whose we are. We're to be godly examples and to pursue these things. You know why? Because we're appointed for thrones ourselves, to reign and rule with Christ. And what we need to realize is, listen, the danger of deception is all around us. There are false teachers with false things. And what we need are godly examples, not ungodly examples. And so we need to heed this warning that Paul gives to Timothy. Do you realize this? Listen, you may right now, you may have said, man, I regret what I've done. Man, I've messed up, Pastor Chris. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been going the wrong direction. I have not been the right example I should be. Here's the amazing thing. Today you can make a decision and that can change. A new example of grace. It's called repenting and turning and saying, I'm going in a new direction today. I'm not going to continue going in that direction. I want my life to be an example. And one of the most powerful examples is admitting I went in the wrong direction and I turned around and I've gone in the right direction. Your life does not have to be wasted years, unless you continue going in that direction. But if you turn around, the God I worship and serve this morning promised me in his word, he says this, you know what, to those who love me, and are called according to my purposes, I can work all things together for good and for my glory. But it starts with a decision that someone makes, says, no more. I'm going to be the right example. And I'm not just going to be the right example. I'm going to follow the right example, because in some way, that example is going to influence me and it's going to influence someone after me. And students, listen to me. You need to think carefully about this. The examples that you are putting before yourselves, you need to think carefully about that. Because it is influencing you whether you realize it or not. Moms and dads, it's not just the examples, listen, on media that they're getting, but you are a primary example within your home. Grandmas and grandpas, Lois and Eunice, is multiple generations of faithfulness. That's why over in Deuteronomy 6, it says, listen, when you go into the land, parents, men, teach your sons and your grandsons to fear the Lord, to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not too late to be an influence, a motivator for godliness. Listen, because this is the doctrine that accords with godliness. This is the doctrine that should, listen, be fleshed out. But make the decision today, I'm done being the wrong example. I want to be a godly example. I'm done living that way. I want my life to be different. I'm going in a new direction. That in and of itself will be a powerful witness to those around you. It doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm an empty nester. You know what? You still have some influence. Use it. Be an example and choose to do the right thing. It's not too late. Grace and mercy is reaching right to us. He's so patient. He abounds in goodness and truth and wants us to experience it. He forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. He's faithful to the thousands. Be the first one. Maybe in a generation. Maybe in your line. It stops right here. God, it changes in my life.